Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane
on 702 for the curious.
And it's 16 minutes past six. I am so very happy to welcome on the line to talk about indigenous foods that are excellent for health, Dr. Tracy Nelwamondo. She's a health coach and advocates for indigenous ingredients as part of a medical strategy. Good morning, Dr. Tracy Nelwamondo. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really appreciate you waking up bright and early for us.
Good morning, Rufina. It's actually quite early. I'm well.
I have no complaints. I hope you are keeping well and you and yours are keeping healthy during this time as much as possible.
No, definitely. I guess we're all trying our best
yes.
to stay safe, not only for our sake, but for the loved ones as well.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very, very happy to hear that. Now, Dr. Tracy, I don't know how you prefer to be called. I just want to call you Dr. Nelwamondo. And then because it's early in the morning, it's a Sunday. I don't want to make it feel too formal for you. Like now you're consulting with one of your clients. But I'm going to call you Dr. Nelwamondo because you studied for this thing. Let's put some respect on
fine.
Your name.
That's
don't
fine.
Want to be too informal with you. Let's, South Africa does have a diverse range of indigenous food crops, which are rich in their specific nutrients, right? And I guess good for preventing chronic illnesses. Talk to me about reasons why we need to remember, go back to, and fundamentally just cherish either indigenous crops or, I guess, those ancient grains that we talk about. Because when you talk about indigenous crops, you're not necessarily talking about crops that are unique or peculiar to South Africa or Africa itself. You have cast quite a wide net to include all indigenous crops. Why is that?
So I got introduced into this space because, as anybody else, I wanted to be healthy. And especially when I gave birth to my son, I wanted a healthy alternative. Like, I know I have bad genes, that are, as you said, comprising of a lot of chronic illnesses. So I thought to myself, no, there has to be something different that I could actually do to give him a better chance than what I had.
Yeah.
And then discovering my health journey, I discovered a whole lot of interesting indigenous foods that were not necessarily indigenous to Africa. They were tasty, but then things like quinoa and things like the sort of like the brown rice. But then the thing is, they were actually very pricey and unaffordable.
Sure.
So I read, I always tell the story, I read a book by Anna Trapido and Mpuchi Kudu, The Eating. I'm sure you're familiar with
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah, Eating.
And then that actually gave me such a chance and such an opportunity to say, you know, you can be healthy whilst enjoying African indigenous foods. And then that came out and took out the price factor, because these are things that are being grown in our backyard, in our villages.
Mm.
And then this is sort of like conversations that you can still have with your great-grandparents. So, like, I remember the first time I got hold of millet, pearl millet.
Sure.
I brought it home, and then my grandfather was like, oh, my God, I used to have this when I was a head boy back in the days. So just that excitement coming out of them and the sort of like the pride, saying that she's another generation of me,
yes.
but she's embracing what it is that I grew up with. So not only did it bring healing in terms of nutritional healing, but it also healed him in terms of his mentality and what actually he thought of African indigenous food. And then I found that's the experience that everybody's having now. So it's not just about the food healing us nutritionally, but it's also like talking about healing our economy as well. So because there's a real a rural economy going on, where especially where I source these ingredients, there's a group of women and men who have been sort of like caretakers of this knowledge of the grains and sort of waiting for us all to wake up and say, oh, this is cool, we can eat it now.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings a set sense of pride and a sense of healing to our mentality as we think about who we are as Africans as well.
Sure.
Because everybody always wants their background to be appreciated and
validated.
To have a sense of belonging. And that's what indigenous food creates as well. So you're talking about mentality, you're talking about the economy, and you're also talking about nutritional healing. So all of those come in through indigenous food.
So, you know, you've pointed out, you've touched on so many interesting points and reasons why we should be looking at and appreciating and specifically eating indigenous foods. But, you know, Dr. Nelwamondo, you believe as a health coach, you also believe that how we sleep, how we eat, how we exercise and relieve stress is directly linked, and that's obviously scientifically proven as well, is linked to our susceptibility to lifestyle illness. When someone is in your practice and is consulting with you, talking to you about a more holistic approach to their health and the fact that diet is not one compartment on its own that you deal with to the neglect or detriment of everything else, how much time does it take for you to, help them experience that breakthrough, which, you know, which includes all these facets that you've just touched on?
I'm actually quite lucky that a lot of patients that sought me out already know what to expect.
Mm.
So what we do is I send them a form where they're able to read and learn about me, and also do like a virtual, everything is virtual now, I guess.
Yes.
But a virtual consult where I get to learn about them as well, just to cut down the time. But at the end of the consult, what happens is the patient themselves is equipped to take care of their own health. Gone are the times where the doctor, the medical practitioner is responsible for a patient's health. The patient needs to be equipped in terms of like the food, in terms of what you're saying, which are the secondary foods, the stress relief, movement as well, not necessarily exercise, but movement, because our bodies were meant to move.
Mm-hmm.
Also dealing with equipping them with the coping mechanism, because we all need to have a manner of which that we release stress.
Sure.
So my patients actually leave with that understanding of, okay, I'm the owner now of my health. I have tools that I've been given to use. And not only is it going to be beneficial for me, but it also becomes beneficial for the people around them, because they actually take these experiences and then they share them with friends, which is actually quite beautiful, because then it just trickles down and everybody becomes healthy in their family or within the space of friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really like that. So in your work of discovering more indigenous whole foods and indigenous ingredients and introducing a modern twist to how we consume them, and I guess making them attractive and convenient to our modern lifestyles, you've developed some products such as baobab powder, marula oil, and marula and baobab ice cream, amongst other things. Talk to me about that journey of creating dishes and or ingredients so that we don't have the excuse of it's not convenient, I don't know where to get it, I don't know how to incorporate it into my lifestyle. What was that process like for you?
For me, it was just about the fact that, if you believe it or not, we have just become global citizens. Everybody has, global family, everybody understands what ice cream is and what it tastes like.
Sure.
So for me, just starting with the ice cream, like I started with the ice cream for my son. It's called Mali's ice cream, named after Mali Bongwe, my firstborn son. For him, it was actually quite tricky to introduce into the sorghums, the millets, the marula nuts. He loves them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wanted something quite playful, something relatable to a little boy. Something that he can actually taste and be like, oh, this is ice cream. I don't have to be sort of like not having ice cream when every little boy is having ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the ice cream came. And then the experience is always like, people can't believe there's no dairy in it. And then the ice cream wasn't made just to be a free from ice cream, but it just was an experience of me completely embracing myself in the indigenous experience.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, if my great ancestor had the time and the opportunity to really embrace and play with marula nuts, what would they come up with? And that's how the ice cream came about.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff that we do is we do a bread, a sourdough bread made of completely ancient ingredients. So it has the pearl millet, it has sorghum flours. So that is just saying, if bread was African, what could it be? Because we all have bread as a staple. But then how would we actually interpret this if we're completely being African and using African indigenous ingredients? So it's not just about celebrating. And then these are nutrient packed. I'm talking about like ancient grains that have all the fiber that you need, all the iron, all the vitamin, multivitamins that you need. But at the same time, it's completely African.
Sorry, Tracy, Dr. Nenel Mondo, I wanted you to just elaborate on that exactly, the nutrients, the nutritional benefits of these ancient grains and these ancient grains, right? You've pointed out the vitamins, the iron and the fiber as well. But also from a sustainability perspective, the ability of our land to be able to grow these grains from a sort of a water perspective and a resource perspective, is that something that you are mindful of and keep an eye on, and which you are a proponent of, especially when you do consult with your clients?
Definitely, Rufile. What's beautiful about the grains in most African indigenous foods is they were meant to grow here. So it doesn't actually take a lot to grow them. So, for example, sorghum and millet grow in the toughest of environments, like drought, and the driest of environments, but then it still comes out with this beautiful nutrient-rich grain. We also have things like bambara nuts and cowpeas that are nitrogen fixers. So they actually heal the soil while growing.
Uh-huh.
And then some of our foods are also wild harvested. So like things like the marula nut, the baba powder, those are wild harvested. And then not only does it actually teach us that we can actually eat from the wild, but it also teaches us to take care of the wild as well, because you would still want it to be there, not only for our generation, but for the generations to come as well. We need to also, because those are sort of protected trees and species.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get to learn from them and you actually see that you actually get an income from them,
mm-hmm.
it actually gives you a better understanding of taking care of the trees and our wild indigenous foods as well.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely lovely. So talk to me, if you would, as we close off, how people and how we can start to ease or get into this way of life, which is using and incorporating indigenous ingredients. Because as you said, it was a bit of a journey for yourself as well, where you had to pick up certain literature and also then, you know, taking home millet and your grandfather saying, my goodness, I used to eat this when I was a herd boy. How do we do this? Number one, gain knowledge. Number two, incorporate indigenous ingredients more readily into and more frequently into our everyday diet.
The beautiful thing about the space that we're in now is we're going through a pandemic, so most of us are at home and actually have the time to dig in deep into what these ingredients are. And if you're locking down with your grandparents or your relatives, ask them. Ask them about what the foods that they used to enjoy back in the days. Also, seek out for small businesses like R1, where we actually want to not only make the ingredients available, but also educate people about what these ingredients are. And also, diversity is key. So try out different things. Completely embrace the ingredients. Take them home. Play with them. Love them. Have the nostalgia that comes with, because you know what, it's something about indigenous foods. There's always nostalgia. That's the beauty of it. Like once you get the ingredient and you start cooking it in your home,
yes,
you're like, I know that. That's always the feeling that everybody gets. They're like, no, I know this. And then that's, so just take the opportunity to completely embrace indigenous ingredients and seek out. There's a lot of publications now. We're living in a space where we have a whole world of information. So seek out the information and look out. We're also going to be trying more to share more on our platforms as well. So look out for that as well.
Fantastic. Where can we find you, Dr. Nelwa Mondo?
So I am on our website, moderntraditions.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
Also on Insta, our handle is @WeAreModernTradition. And my other one is at Mali's Ice Cream.
All right, fantastic. So modern traditions as well as Mali's ice cream that we mentioned at the top of the interview. Dr. Tracy Nelomondo, it is always a pleasure to speak to you, and keep on doing the very important and good work that you do, and keep well until the next time we speak.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day, Regina.
Thank you very much. The same to you and yours.